Hear me like this? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So my name is Gabriel Baird. This is part of my thesis work under supervision of Matthias Scheiner at the University of Ottawa. So the title is Shifts in Cayley Graphs. So first we're going to give some definitions. What are shifts? A little bit about Cayley Graphs. Some basic notions about what we can say about shifts in Cayley Graphs. And then I'm going to go on to my main conjecture. And basically, part of the proof, so a sketch. Okay, so just some basic graph definition. So if X is a simple graph, we'll define V of X, we'll denote its vertex set by V of X. The automorphism group will denote by OAT X, and this little symbol will denote adjacency. Okay, so what's a shift? Well, it's pretty simple. It's just an automorphism that maps any vertex to an adjacent vertex. So any vertex in its image are adjacent. So that's easy. Other easy definition, a graph that does not emit a shift we'll call shiftless. So very easy to remember. Okay, now on to Cayley graphs. So some of you might have seen some of this before. If not, just a quick briefing. So we start with a group. We'll call it G. And Z of G will be the center. So we need an inverse closed, identity-free subset of G. It's sort of a technical requirement. It's just so that the graph we get is simple. Okay, so this is how we define the Cayley graph. So it'll be denoted K, G, where G is a group, and S is called the connection set. So the vertex set is just the group elements, and two elements of the groups are adjacent in the graph if there's an element S and S, such that U, S is equal to V. So there's also an alternate definition, which is SU is equal to V. It's just a matter of convention. So I'm going to use right multiplication here. Okay, now this is basic Cayley graph theory, if you want. It's the most basic is if you define sigma of G, sigma of G of V, G is a group element here. So sigma of G of V is just left multiplication, so it's just GV. That's an automorphism of the graph. Okay, it's actually pretty easy to see because if U and V are adjacent here, then US is equal to V, and in fact, GUS is equal to GV. And so GU and GV are adjacent. We're going to need this later, though. And just the last definition, if the Cayley graph GS is shiftless, just to make it a bit easier, we'll also call the connection set S shiftless. So if the connection set induces a graph that's shiftless, we call it shiftless. Okay. Some basic results that are easy to get. So suppose we take an element in the connection set that's central. Okay, so it's an S and in the center. Then the automorphism, the left multiplication automorphism, which I just mentioned, is a shift. That's easy to see. Just take any vertex, and we'll show that it's any vertex is adjacent to its image under this automorphism. So it's just straightforward. V is adjacent to sigma G of V if and only if it's adjacent to GV. By the definition we gave, that's if and only if V minus 1 G minus 1 V is in S. But we assume that G is central, so the V's cancel out. And since S is inverse closed, G minus 1 is in S if and only if G is. So that's straightforward. So what does that tell us? If we take an abelian group, for example, then unless X is edgeless, then it has a shift. So what I'm saying is all Cayley graphs on abelian groups have shifts. Now, if we consider the converse, that is, if we take a Cayley graph with a shift, well, in fact, the converse is false. It's not necessarily isomorphic to a Cayley graph on an abelian group. Okay, so I'll give an example now. Okay, so this is actually the smallest example you can build with respect to the number of vertices. So it's on 12 vertex. So the group here is the dihedral group of order 12. So A is the rotation, if you want. It has order 6. B is an involution. And BAB is equal to A minus 1. So it's a pretty easy group. And the connection set here is, so it's B, BA squared, BA5, and A cube. Now, the three firsts, they're all actually involutions because A cube squared is A6, which is 1, and the others are all reflections. So it's obviously inverse closed. This is the graph that you get if you use this connection set. Now, how to see that this graph is a shift? Well, A cube is in fact in the center, and it's in the connection set. So by previous lemma, it has a shift. Now, why is it not isomorphic to a Cayley graph on an abelian group? That's maybe a little bit harder to see, but not that much. If you consider the black edge here, which corresponds to the B edge, you'll notice that they're all part of a unique 4 cycle. The red, black, red, black. Okay, and they're not part of any other 4 cycle, the black edges. And for a Cayley graph on an abelian group with degree 4, you would need every edge to be part of at least 2 4 cycles. That's not hard to see. I'm not going to prove it here, but this shows that this is not Cayley on an abelian group. Okay, so this is sort of the easy stuff. Now, my question is, how can we sort of modify this converse to make it true? Either what can we do? So, this is a converse. A Cayley graph with a shift, well, it's false. It's not necessarily isomorphic to a Cayley graph on an abelian group. Now, what I did is, I moved the point of view to the group level. So instead of focusing on a single graph, saying, okay, it has a shift, but it's not necessarily isomorphic to a Cayley graph on an abelian group, move to the group level, that is. Consider a group where all the graphs have shifts. Now, and this is in fact a conjecture. So suppose a group has no shift-left subset. So basically all Cayley graphs on this group have shifts. I'm trying to prove that then all Cayley graphs on this group are isomorphic to Cayley graphs on abelian groups. Now, it's a well-known fact. They've been characterized very early that the groups for which all Cayley graphs on these groups are also Cayley on abelian have been classified. They're the abelian groups, of course. A family called the general diacyclic groups, which are sort of a generalization of the quaternion group, and three small exceptions, diodo groups of order 6, 8, and 10. So these are the groups for which all Cayley graphs are isomorphic to Cayley graphs on abelian groups. So we can rephrase the conjecture like this. So if we have a group with no shift-left subset, that is a group where all the graphs have a shift, then G is either one of these groups. Either it's abelian, it's general dicyclic, or dihedral of order 6 or 8 of 10. Now, this is actually the main thing I'm trying to do in my thesis. It's not completely done, but very, very close. I consider it proved, but we still have a little bit of details to go over with my supervisor. I'm going to give an idea how the what's the structure of the proof. So here's how we do it. So we start to consider a graph, just not necessarily a Cayley graph, just a graph. Assume it has a shift. What kind of structure can we deduce from this? And then what does this tell us about a Cayley graph? Now suppose a Cayley graph has a shift, we know that it has the same structure because it's a graph. What does that tell us about its connection set? And then we assume that a group has all subsets following this rule. What does that tell us about the group? So I'll give an example, see what we can do. So I'll assume the group has all Cayley graphs on, all its Cayley graphs on this group have a shift, and we'll see what we can learn about this group. So here's the first lemma. So we have a graph, it has a shift. We're going to show that every edge of this graph that's incident with a vertex of degree at least 3 is part of a 4 cycle. And you'll see it's pretty easy. It's very easy. So it has a shift, so let's call it alpha, and we take any edge, UV, that's incident with a vertex of degree at least 3. So without loss of generality, there are only two cases. So either one of the vertex of the edge is mapped to the other one, or none of them are. So I'm allowing a relabeling here if it's V that's mapped to U or whatever. It doesn't matter to me. So here's the first case. So none of the endpoints of the edge are mapped to each other by this shift. So here it is. See, they're very, very, very short proofs. So the arrows here denote the shift, right? Because it's an automorphism that maps vertex to adjacent edge. So we assume that none of these were images of each other. Well, they still need to have an image because it's an automorphism. So let's call the images T and W. So T and W are distinct because it's a bijection, but U and V are adjacent. So T and V also are. This should be T and W. So T and W also are, because it's an automorphism, and we get the 4 cycle containing the edge that we were looking for. Second case is also very straightforward. So now I'm assuming that U is mapped to V, or this proof works for V is mapped to U, too, obviously. So we assume that there was degree at least 3, but since they're mapped to each other by an automorphism, they both have degree at least 3, and U has to have a pre-image, But I don't actually care about what the preimage is. The point is, since it has degree at least 3, there's another vertex which is not its preimage that I call T, that's adjacent to U, and so its image can't be U because it's not the preimage, it's somewhere else, and you get the 4-cycle again because this edge is taken to this edge. So this shows the lemma. So pretty simple. Now, if you consider the same lemma, but instead of from a general graph point of view, you go and you look at it from a Kelly graph point of view. Well, this is what you get. So this is actually the same lemma, but written in Kelly graph language, if you want. So now G is a group, S is the connection set, which has size at least 3, and we're assuming that it's not shiftless. Then for every A, that's sort of like saying for every edge, for every A and S, yeah. Sorry, there exists 3 other elements in S, not necessarily distinct, such that the following equations are true. It looks not obvious written this way, but let's look to the proof. You'll see it's pretty easy. So take any A and S. The edge 1A here is part of a 4-cycle C by assumption, by the previous lemma, because S is at least 3, it's not shiftless, so every edge is part of a 4-cycle. So we have this 4-cycle here. Now we're just going to name the other vertices. So we have 1 and A. We'll call the one adjacent to 1 C, and the last one we'll call X. Now, A is different than C, by assumption again, so that's the last part, and X is adjacent to A and C. And so there must exist B and D, the edges here, so that B, A is equal to D, C is equal to X, which is different than 1. And so we get that. Now, okay, that doesn't look so interesting. It just looks like a bunch of equations. But you'll see we can get pretty strong statements about a group if we assume that all possible connection sets have this property, which is my next result. So here it is. So now we have a group, and we assume that it has no shiftless subset. That is, all possible subsets follow the previous equations that we just mentioned. So here is the result. Let A and B be in G, so two group elements. One is in an involution, so it squares to 1, and the other is not, so it squares to not 1. Then BAB is equal to A plus or minus 1. That is either the commute or the sort of anti-commute, if you will. That is, the conjugate of A by B is A inverse. Here's the proof, very short again. We start with S is equal to B, A inverse. Obviously, it's inverse closed and identity free. Well, I should say B and B is not 1, I guess. Okay, so it's identity free and it's inverse closed. It's also, they're all distinct because B is an involution and A is not. So it has size at least 3. So we use the previous result. So there must exist T, U, and V and S such that this, that was the previous result. And we just consider cases here. So here are all the cases if you want. So we just have two. So B is here. So T, U, and V, we just put all the possible choices, which are B, A, and A minus 1, that follow, that respect this. So I'm not allowed to take T is equal to B, for example, because that would make it equal to 1, etc. And for example, if you choose T is equal to A minus 1, A minus 1, you get B, A is equal to A minus 2, which is B is equal to A minus 2, and so the commute, and etc. If you check all the cases, it's very quickly, and you get the result. So the proof in general works exactly the same way. So we get graph theoretical results about graphs with shift, transform them into results about Kelly graphs, and then move to the group level, assume that all graphs have this property, and see what we can get. And we try to prove that it's either D6, the diagonal group on of order 6, 8, or 10, abelian or general decision. So you can see you can get struck. Well, that's obviously I chose an easy example. It gets harder, but that's the basic idea. Now, some possible generalization. You can move. I was considering Kelly graphs simple. For example, first of all, undirected and simple. If you move to undirected, I haven't actually looked at it much, but first of all, the list of groups for which all Kelly graphs are also Kelly graphs and abelian groups change. For example, the general dicyclic are there because of the requirement that the graphs be undirected, because they have an inverse, some property with respect to inverse automorphism. adding loops doesn't make much of a difference, because if you add the loop, you add it everywhere, and well, you just have to change your definition of what a shift is a little bit. But because if you add loops, then the identity automorphism becomes a shift, so you just have to mention that. Are there any questions? This is some publicity. I don't know if somebody showed it yesterday for the discrete math day, so which is going to be in Ottawa-Carleton. So.